We are in Luke, the 23rd chapter, just one verse, verse 26, and we're looking at Jesus helped by Simon of Cyrene. And Luke tells us this: as they led him away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him, and they made him carry it behind Jesus. And then I also reinforce this with Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. And they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry the cross. Well, we've been on this journey to the cross with Jesus, and we started in the Garden of Gethsemane with Jesus praying in earnest, so earnestly, so full of stress of the moment that he sweat like drops of blood. And so in the meantime, he had asked the disciples, challenged them to pray. They were about a stone's throw away, and asked them to pray for him and to pray for themselves and not fall into temptation. Jesus went to the disciples, and he found them sleeping. And we thought about in our own lives so many times when we should be praying, we're oftentimes sleeping. And so Jesus challenged them again to pray, and he went away and prayed again that the cup passed from him, but he said, not my will, but thine be done. And then after praying for some time, he went back, found the disciples sleeping again, challenged them again to pray, and went back and prayed in earnest some more, and then went back, found them asleep again. And by then, the Roman guards had come because Judas had betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and he did it with a kiss of a friend. And we talked about how sometimes that we, too, fall to temptation in our lives, and it's different kinds of things for different kinds of people, but our priorities are wrong. And so, also, Jesus was betrayed by the kiss of a friend. And then we talked about Peter as Jesus was led away. Peter followed at a distance. And then when Jesus was being questioned and even grilled and tortured, then Peter warmed himself around a fire of the Roman soldiers and the people from the region of Galilee and also from the Jerusalem countryside. And they began to press Peter about whether he knew Jesus, and Peter denied Jesus not once but three times. We talked about in our own lives how sometimes we let distance grow between ourselves and the Lord, somehow in our faith. And then we begin to hang out with the wrong crowd. And then finally, step by step, we end up lying and then finally denying Christ in our faith. And so it isn't just about Peter, it's also about us. Of course, Peter, when he heard the rooster crow, realized Jesus' prediction and warning to him. And he broke down in that moment, and we realized that Jesus forgives us as well. And then we thought about Jesus before Pilate, and Pilate tries to pass the buck politically, no doubt spiritually as well, sends it over to Herod, but Herod is wily and sends him back. He says, no, this is your jurisdiction, not mine. And Pilate tried to turn it into a philosophical conversation and said, what is truth? And Jesus began to talk about truth, but Jesus remained silent, because Jesus was the way and the truth and the life. And Pilate tried to wash his hands from blame, but we talked about how none of us can really do that. And so in the end, Pilate tried to get out of convicting Jesus because his wife had warned him, among other things, and he felt no doubt that Jesus was innocent, as Jesus was. And so Pilate asked for the people to let Barabbas go. And the people said, no, crucify Jesus. And so we have this moment where Barabbas, the guilty one, is set free, and Jesus, the innocent one, is condemned to die on Calvary. And we talk about how that's a picture of our own lives, too, because even though we sort of push aside Barabbas, we, too, are guilty and are set free, and Jesus, who is innocent, goes to the cross for us. And Pilate, who tried to wash his hands of guilt, really only Jesus could do that. Jesus paid the price. And so Jesus is then scourged with a whip, which we had here last week, and a crown of thorns, which we do have here. And we talked about the two roles that are demonstrated in that poignant moment in Scripture. One where Jesus bears our sins, our iniquities, as is pictured in Isaiah chapter 53, by his stripes we are healed. And so we talked about how that moment, Jesus is the suffering servant who somehow takes upon our sins, our guilt, our brokenness on himself and goes to Calvary. And then also Jesus, by this moment really of mockery as well as pain and suffering, that the Roman soldiers put the crown of thorns on Jesus, that Jesus was in some sense displaying his quality as King of Kings, King of all the universe, but becoming even a greater king through his suffering. And so we come to this moment this evening. Now, there are some stations of the cross between Simon helping Jesus and the moment of the scourging and the crown of thorns, but we don't have time enough to go through all those. They're not really, they're in Scripture sort of implied, but if you go to stations of the cross, the 14 stations, you'll see that Jesus falls a number of times. First of all, he has the cross hoisted on him by Roman soldiers, and then Jesus falls under the weight of the cross, as well as the fact that he's been through all this suffering, the whipping and the lashing that could kill a person in and of itself. And he's been without probably water, and he's just, exhausted. And then there's a moment where Veronica, one of the women of Jerusalem, comes before Jesus with other women, sort of symbolizing their tears and that sharing the suffering of Jesus. It's not in the Bible, it's part of sort of the tradition of the church. And so after that, we come to this moment that is our moment when Simon helps Jesus with the cross. I have a few of paintings and depictions up there. And if you've ever gone to the Shrine of the Passion of Christ in St. John, Indiana, it's beautiful moments, all these bronze sculptures of Jesus, and some of those are pictured up there as well. But I want to focus for a moment on Simon. And we think about this moment, and it is probably, I want to say, one of the most underappreciated moments in all of Scripture. And let me try to share why I think that's the case. And the reason, of course, is it's obviously eclipsed by Jesus bearing the cross. But in this moment, I think there's a sense in which we can see ourselves in a deeper and more poignant and, I hope, more appreciative way. And so the first thing is we are told that Simon is from Cyrene. Now, Cyrene is 900 miles away in Africa. It is in part of what is now Libya in Africa. So we believe Simon was an African Jew. There is a lot of faith in northern Africa, the Jewish faith at that time, and has traveled to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Passover to celebrate it. So he's traveled not by plane, not by train, not by bus, but he's either rode a horse or donkey, or he's walked 900 miles. Now, that's about to the Florida northern coast, just in northern border. So picture how long, how far, and it's actually worse territory because it's a lot of desert that he's gone through. And so he has put everything he's got into this moment of pilgrimaging to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of the Passover, right? And so he's got to feel like maybe he is due a little bit of rest. Would you agree if you had traveled 900 miles? And in the moment there, coming to celebrate the Passover, he's sort of along with the crowds, he's watching this person that he may have heard about, probably never met, and he is bearing this cross. And the soldiers, out of some mercy probably, look around for someone Jesus is apparently unable to manage or needs a lot of help in carrying this cross. They find an innocent bystander, which is Simon of Cyrene, and compel him, we don't know all that involved, to help carry the cross of Jesus. And I wonder, is Simon for a moment thought to himself, why me, right? Have you ever had a moment like that? Why me? Like, I'm doing the right thing, right? I just pilgrimaged 900 miles to take part in the Feast of the Passover, and this is unwanting. This is undeserving for me to help bear this guy's cross. Why me, right? And so that's interesting. Now, apparently, there was a lot of people from Cyrene who would come to Jerusalem. In fact, we're told in the book of Acts that there's so many people from this area of Cyrene who would come to Jerusalem that the Cyrenians had their own synagogue in Jerusalem, which is interesting. So he had some friends that were there. But it's interesting because we know something a little bit more about him if we look in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 21. And it says this, again, just one verse, just sort of a passing thing. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry the cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, father of Alexander and Rufus. Now, that's very interesting because who is Alexander and Rufus? Well, it's obviously the kids of Simon of Cyrene. But it's interesting because we do find out, again, in Romans chapter 16, verse 13, that Paul writes to the Roman church and he says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." So that's interesting, isn't it? Because from this, apparently, we believe at least that Simon probably became a believer, and so did his kids, Alexander and Rufus and his wife. In fact, they became so hailed and respected in the church that Paul says that they were chosen, and so also Simon's wife. And it brings a whole new light, doesn't it, on the situation when we think about that story. And I think really when you look at the heart of this for a moment, here's Simon coming on a pilgrimage from Africa to celebrate the Feast of the Passover, and the truth is he becomes part of the divine Passover, even though he doesn't realize what's happening in that moment. But then you think about for a moment, I mean, in this moment of what seems to be injustice, asked to do something unwanted, undeserved, he ends up sharing the cross of Christ, of Jesus the Messiah, even though he didn't know it in that moment. But I believe that he did later on. And what was it like on that journey? I mean, can you think about what it must have been like? In fact, I think that Paul was so impressed by that moment that Paul went out to talk to Simon later when Paul became a believer, and his wife, to ask him what it was like to walk beside Jesus and to help bear the cross. Because Paul talks about bearing the cross. So Paul thought it was so special, and he calls him chosen, chosen family, that Simon would take part in that. And I think there's a moment here when we think about, too, that Simon probably became a believer and took the faith back to Africa, because we know there was a really strong faith, Christian faith, in northern Africa. So he might have been the first missionary to Africa, but then his family came back, part of the Roman church, at least part of his family was part of the Roman church, where Paul longed to go to share the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to Caesar himself. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? From going to be the person who's the bystander in the crowd, a long pilgrimage to be part of a tradition of the Passover, but then you end up sharing the cross of the Messiah. You end up maybe being the first missionary to the great nation of Africa, and your family becomes respected believers, and even the Apostle Paul sort of seeks them out to find out what it's like to be part of that moment. And I think there's something else here too, because it's interesting, because at the beginning of the whole narrative of Jesus come to us, you recall, Matthew talks to us about the Magi coming from afar, right? And the Magi, we typically think, and we can look at it from, you know, frankincense and myrrh and gold, that these were people, we think, from probably India, Asia, and Africa, right? And some of the great nations of the world. And so Matthew wants us to know that from the moment that Jesus was born and took on human flesh, the people from different races and places were there to worship the Lord and take the message of Christ come to us out to different people. And then in this moment right here, the Gospels want us to know that at the moment of the cross, there are people from other nations as well. Here, the African people are beside Jesus in that moment. Now, we know that this gave great hope to people who suffered slavery and injustice and all kinds of things, but what today, what cross are you bearing maybe that seems unwanted and undeserved, where it might be a moment where you are called to bear the cross of Christ? Remember that Jesus, in all of the Synoptic Gospels, says, if anyone wants to be my disciple, they must take up their cross and follow me. Now, maybe not literally the cross, but I think by that he meant that we all have some hardship, some injustices to bear. We all have some things that are undeserving and unwanted. But I wonder if the picture isn't just like Simon, that in those unwanted moments of suffering and difficulty and hardship and adversity, that we don't know Christ in a greater way than we would ever know otherwise, just like Simon. Now, that doesn't excuse injustice in the world. My heart breaks when I see the violence this past weeks and the injustices around the world of people being oppressed or imprisoned and all the kinds of things. But I think what it does mean is that Jesus is there, present in a way that we never imagined. And we can be present too by helping to bear the cross of other people. And in so doing, we too might be bearing the cross of Christ. So this evening, when you think about Jesus bearing the cross, and Simon somehow being compelled by the soldiers to come there, maybe there's a moment for us when we're going through our most difficult moments that we feel Christ's presence in a greater way than we could ever, ever in any other moment. But there's something else that's here that I think is important. And that is that you'll notice that it says that Simon helped carry the cross from behind Jesus. And I think that's important, because I think that the gospel writer in that moment wants us to know that when we bear the cross, whatever suffering, injustice, sickness, hardship, even death itself, that Jesus is not only helping to carry the cross, Jesus has gone before. Jesus is going ahead of us. Whatever you're going through, Jesus has been there. He's bore all the sin and suffering and hardship and heartbreak we could ever know. Even death itself, he's gone before. So he's been there, whatever you're going through right now. So this evening, if you're bearing a cross, whatever it is, it's not nearly what Jesus bore, but I know it's real to each of us. Sickness, hardship, heartbreak, the loss of a loved one. Jesus has been there. And sometimes Jesus calls us somehow in life to help carry that cross. But when we do, if we take a moment like Simon and realize that the moment that we are in is a moment when all the angels are looking at us, we have a chance to share that because no one else in all of history got to be where Simon was. And as much as he didn't want to pick that cross in that moment, I bet later on he wouldn't trade it for anything else in all of history, because he's the only one that got to do that. So this evening, I challenge all of us to think about Simon, Jesus' need for a friend in that moment to help bear the cross, because I believe that Simon maybe didn't want to in that moment, but then all of a sudden said, yeah, I'm gonna help this person. And as he began to help carry that cross, then he began to realize who this was. And his heart was strangely moved by the love of this man. And I believe that he stood there during the crucifixion, that he was there, and his life was changed forevermore. And to realize that God wants all people in all places and races and languages and cultures to know his love. And the gospel writers wanted to know that other nations were there from the start and other nations were there at the foot of the cross. And it's important that we stand up for all people in all places, whatever injustice they bear. So this evening, where are you with your cross? The real measure of a disciple is, are you there and willing to carry the cross that is hard, that is undeserved, that is unjust, that is unwanted? But if we're willing to do that, we may be part of light to other people. The Apostle Paul himself sought out Simon, I believe, to ask him and his family to share that moment. But all the world somehow looks in that moment. so you and I too might find a deeper love and our light might shine brighter. So this evening, I challenge each of us to take a moment and to think about Simon helping Jesus and to realize that we all have a cross to bear, but that cross might be our greatest moment of being closest to Christ, and we might know his love and his strength and his heart in a greater and deeper way. Amen.